Praise the Lord. Thank you. Appreciate you all. Well, last year I was ministering in India for my birthday. And then 2 years prior to that, I was also ministering on my birthday. And I don't know if I will be next year or not, but the Lord said I couldn't go this year. And so I didn't make any plans to go. It was very clear to me that I had to be home and work and labor here. But we'll see if next year that He permits me to go. And I'm believing He might. And take Miss Irene with me this time. Would you be okay with that?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. My daughter says no. And, need to get her over. And, going to a third world country changes your perspective of life. A lot. Depending on what you see, you know. I guess if you're in a 5-star resort, you wouldn't know what people really live like. But if you're not there, you get to see reality of how a lot of people live on this planet. And it helps make you more thankful for what you have. The first day I was there, I just said, Lord, forgive me, Lord. I started my day with repentance. Forgive me, Lord, for complaining that my water wasn't quite hot enough when I was home, or something ridiculous, it didn't take me long to realize I'm a wealthy man. I said this to myself when I was overseas, at home, I have hot water to take a shower with. And there are tens of thousands of people that live in boxes and tarps that do not. I got cold, clean water to drink at home. There are tens of thousands of people all over the planet that do not. And it's good to see it. It's good to talk to them, be around them. It's good for you. Everybody needs to get out of the country a little bit once in a while. See what life's like, other places. Helps us appreciate what we have. I'm a thankful man. Thankful. So thankful. Praise the Lord. You thankful today?
Yes.
Lord's been faithful to us, yes, even when we didn't recognize it. Yes. Even when we didn't acknowledge it or even see it, He kept us.
Yes.
He kept us. Yes. Kept us through hard times. Kept us through crisis. Made a way for us in situations over life that we didn't know how to do and what to do. But yet He made a way and we got through it.
Amen.
We sometimes forget, and it's important not to. Yeah, we're always moving forward, but don't ever remember where you came from. What'd I say? I said don't ever remember? Sorry. Let me change that. Don't ever forget where you came from. Amen? Because we came into this world with what?
Nothing.
And we're going to go out with what?
Nothing.
Keep that in mind. We're stewards over what the Lord has allowed us to be stewards over for a short season. That's it. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray and release some faith for today. I have a lot of things going through my mind, but we want to hear from the Lord. We want to hear from Him right. Father, we present ourselves before You according to Your word, which is our reasonable sacrifice. And we say, Father, lead us today. Holy Spirit, the active agent on the earth today, lead us today. Teach us today. Show us, minister to us, show us the way to go. Help get to us what we need to receive today. And Lord, whatever we receive from You, we declare publicly that we will be doers of Your word and not hearers only. In the name of Jesus, we look to you. We thank you ahead of time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, for a few weeks, I started to teach what I thought would be a series on how to increase spiritually, spiritual laws of spiritual increase. And then, after the assassination of our brother in Utah, I felt like the Lord said, you need to go this direction right now. So I said, all right. So we taught on boldness last week. And I thought maybe we'd get right back to where we were, but I don't think we need to yet. I think I need to talk a little bit more about boldness. And so let's, if you would, turn your Bibles to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, you know, the book of Acts, I always like to help people best I can understand something about the New Testament, because the New Testament is the new covenant, is explained and taught the new covenant by which we live. The book of Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament in our Bibles, and it's divided that way. And then Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the four Gospels that follow that. And if you want to learn about what Jesus, who Jesus was, how he came to the earth, what his ministry consisted of as a man, what he did, how he died, how he rose again from the dead. I mean, if you want to learn about the life of Jesus, you got to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so I'm studying as my daily devotion in the book of Matthew. And so I try to do one chapter a day. I'm just, feeding on it, meditating on that, just for my own personal reading. But then after those four books of the Gospels, we call them Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have the book of Acts. The book of Acts is actually the birth of the church. It's where the church began. It's where the first churches recorded. Talks about what the disciples did, how they met, how they obeyed God, how in Acts chapter 2 they were filled with the Spirit of God, and all the believers spoke in other tongues. And then Acts chapter 3, Peter and John went into the temple in the hour of prayer, and they brought healing to a man. And then it caused the religious people to get all upset because somebody was helped. Imagine that. I mean, the church has always been in the business of helping people.
Right.
That's what we do. What's that look like? Whatever it takes. And so my pastor always said, if people would come to church, they wouldn't need much counseling, if any, ever. And I got to understand that's true, because if you're in the church and you're hearing the Word of God and establishing a relationship with God, He'll begin to teach you how to overcome all the problems that you face. And you won't need some man to come alongside you. And I'm not against counseling. My wife and I, we've done it for, decades, a couple decades now. I'm not against any of that. But I tell you, if you'll spend time in the Word of God, if you'll establish a relationship with God through His Word, He'll teach you everything you need to know. He'll teach you about marriage. He'll teach you about parenting. He'll teach you about grandparenting and how that you're supposed to spoil the grandkids terribly.
Yes.
Which is my mission, becoming my mission in life. Sorry, it probably wasn't very spiritual, was it, brother? But he'll teach you how to manage your money. He'll teach you how to love. He'll teach you how to be a person of faith. Teach you everything you need to know. And he'll prepare you to step on into eternity. It's all in the Word. If you'll just make time to make that a priority. And of course, we all do that here, right?
Yes.
Those two people agreed with me. The proper answer was, yes, Pastor, we're on it. We're on it. Right? Did you find the book Acts? So here in chapter 3, We see here that Peter is answering to the religious people about this man being healed. And he says, verse 16, "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him that hath given him," I'm sorry, "that is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot not that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had shown by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled." Verse 19, "Repent, ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." I mean, that's not an optional thing. That was a command to them, right? It's a command to all of us, right? We all need to, at some point in our lives, repent. And from time to time throughout our lives, we also need to maybe do it again. Huh? But we should be living a life that we shouldn't have to be repenting all the time. Right? And he says, "And the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive." Now pay attention specifically to this. "Whom the heaven must receive." Where's Jesus at right now? He's in heaven, right? Says, "whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began." The times of restitution of all things, that is the day by which we are living in. That means that God's plan, God's mission is to bring restitution to all things. Meaning that God's on a mission to have everything restored in the way that he originally intended it and created it to be. Notice the language. Until the heavens must receive Jesus until the times of restitution of all things. That means that things be brought back to their original intention by God. This is the time that we're living in. That means that more and more people are coming to the knowledge of Christ. More and more people are getting revelation of who they are in Christ. More and more people are receiving understanding about the mystery of their authority, which was once held from them, but now they're seeing it. There's a lot of God men and women that are rising up on the planet. God men and women who are exercising authority over the kingdom of darkness and Satan's tactics. And that's going to increase. It's going to increase because the time of restitution is the time that we're living in. And so you got to ask yourself this question. If God's on a mission to restore everything the way of his original intention, whose job is it to do that? Is it all the Lord's job or is it the church's job? See, a lot of times people raised up in religion think that everything's God's responsibility to do. But that's false. God will work with you and me to bring to pass his will. We have a part to play. He has a part to play. Listen, Jesus is the head of the church. We are the body. The body and the head must work together to accomplish anything. Can't put it all on the head. Well, Lord, you just do it all. I'm just going to live out my days and do nothing. No. God's will never be fulfilled on the earth if His body doesn't cooperate and work with Him. We have huge responsibility. I mean, we have to go out and bring the harvest in. You understand? I mean, we understand this in the farming community some, right? I mean, what farmer planted seed this year? Getting close to harvest time. Some things, it is harvest time, right? What farmer's going to sit there and say, okay, harvest, come on in. And just trust that it does it on its own. Come on, there's no corn coming off the field by itself. There's no beans being picked. There's no tomatoes. Come on. There's nothing. There's no apples that are making their way through the canning process into the jar, into yourself by themselves. Right? God had a part to play in making the seed grow. We have a part to play in bringing in the harvest. We plant. Come on, we plant. He causes the growth. We bring in the harvest. And God's will and God's ways are performed. That's how it works. So, this is the time that we're living in. And I assure you, God's going to have His way. If you don't want to do what you're called to do, and whatever that is, God will move on someone else. Someone else will do it. And then they'll get the rewards for it. What could have been yours, what should have been rewards for you, got to give them somebody else. So, in the fourth chapter, there is further persecution here. With the healing of this man. And, of course, Peter is answering. And he says here in verse 10, well, we can just back up and get the whole story, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we be this day examined of the good deed which is done to the impotent man, by what means he was made whole, be it known unto you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified." I mean, he just says it like it is. Why? Because he's bold. Like we are. Full of boldness. Right? Not cowards. Right? God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, the Scripture, King James says. That word means a spirit that draws back. God did not give us a spirit that draws back. He didn't give us that kind of spirit. It's not God. But He gave us His Spirit, which is powerful.
Amen.
And full of love and of a sound mind. That's what your Bible says. Right? He says, "Whom you crucified, but God raised Him from the dead, and by Him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught, even you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." I mean, that still stands true today. The name of Jesus is the only name that saves you. Right? Now, verse 13. Now, when they saw, what's your Bible say? When they saw the what?
Boldness.
The boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So we said this. We'll just repeat it. Boldness is a result of relationship with Him. Notice what they said. They perceived that they had been with Him. They perceived that They perceived that the boldness that Peter had was the result of being with the Master. The more time you spend with Jesus, you say, well, how do I spend time with Jesus? Spend time in His Word, because He and His Word are one. John chapter 1 says, He and His Word are one. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The Word of God and Jesus are one. When you spend time in the Word, you spend time with Him. You want to learn about Jesus? Spend time in His Word. He'll speak to you through there. He'll minister strength to you through there. He'll enlighten you through there. Come on. This will create a boldness in you. Spending time with Him. Do you see it in the Bible? And we mentioned this a little bit last week. Want to mention again so we get it real good. Boldness is a result of relationship. Number two, boldness is a result of knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of His Word. Knowledge of His Word. Turn with me to Romans, if you would please. Well, let's back up. Hold on a second. Before you leave Romans 4 or Acts 4, I want to talk about something here. Notice that after this statement in verse 13, verse 15 says, "But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, and they conferred among themselves, saying, well, what are we going to do with these men? For that indeed is a notable miracle, and it had been done and manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we can't deny it." Verse 17. "But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they would speak henceforth to no man in this name." Now, I mentioned this last week, but I want to mention this again. The devil is always after people's boldness. And right here's a classic case of it. Do you see it? Let us threaten them, or in our days, let's just kill them. Like they did Charlie Kirk. You see, that was way more than just a natural assassination. It was a spiritual attempt to silence people that talk about Jesus. And that event will no doubt attempt to strike fear in the hearts of believers so that they will be quiet about their faith. And they won't speak when they could or when they should. Are you listening? It's an attempt to strike fear in the hearts of believers. But it ain't going to work. It will not work. Because the Holy Spirit will pour out Himself in greater ways, that people will just burn with passion to talk about Jesus. That's what's going to happen. And the seed that, you know, He planted is going to produce in huge, huge ways. What is it going to do? Here's what it's going to do. It's going to promote the restitution of all things, which is the time we live in. Are you saying that God had planned that? No. God wasn't in that. The devil's in that. You see, you have to have some bottom line understanding. Jesus said in John 10, "The thief comes but to steal, kill, and to destroy. But I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." Anything that steals, kills, or destroys from you, from your mind, from your physical body, from your being, from your family, your marriage, your business, whatever it is. Anything that comes to steal and take away and to destroy is never from the Lord. That's always from the enemy. Get that settled in your mind. Well, God allowed it. Well, yeah, He allows you to lie too. Right? He can't stop that. And the reality of it is, we live on a planet that's full of evil. And we're combating evil on many different levels. We're seeing it in the natural. We're seeing it in our political. We've been seeing it. We just haven't been doing anything about it. We're seeing it on all different levels. Evil. Wickedness.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, the whole gender promotion of things in school is evil and wicked and anti-Christ.
Amen.
Period. Don't back up on it. Don't be quiet about it. Be bold. It's wicked. It's evil. And we'll not tolerate it. It's not okay. It's just wrong on every level. It's evil and wicked. And the church needs to be an example of leadership in its community and in its society and in its world. And unfortunately, in many cases, the church maybe hasn't been what it should have been. And maybe in some cases, still is not being what it should be. It's not my call to judge the church overall, but it is my call to examine, you know, the direction the Lord wants this church to go, because I have the stewardship of it.
Yeah.
And we're not okay with all those things I'd mentioned previously. That's not okay. It does not fly. We do not accept that because it's not truth. It's false. It's deceptive. It lies. And it messes people up. Messes people up. Boldness. And so here again, the whole thing here, where they threatened them in verse 17. And then verse 18, they called them and commanded them, do not speak or teach any more in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered, well, whether it be right in the sight of God, hearken unto you more than God, you judge it, for we cannot speak but the things which we have seen and heard. So how many know they weren't yielding? Like, we are not going to yield to any pressures, right? Because see, we're not bought.
No.
We're not controlled by a hierarchy in the natural. We don't get any funding from any entities that says, you got to do this and you got to do that. And, you know, like some of our areas say, well, we have to comply to the civil rights activist group in order to receive grant money to do all these things. We're not in that. We don't play those political games. The state does not own the church. It does not control the church. No society, no government. Come on, no government controls the church. The Lord Jesus is the head of the church. And the Word of God is the precedence by which we live and conduct business by. Period. See, I have to stand before the Lord. And so do you, by the way. I can't escape it, and neither can you, by the way.
Right.
Right? So we might as well just get it right now, so that'll be a great, wonderful day. And so it says that verse 21 says, and when they had further threatened them, they just continued threatening them. Now, if you skip on down, then we'll go to the book of Romans. They got together and they began to pray. Verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and elders had said and said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. And they began to pray. They began to make this declaration and talk to the Lord about it. You can read it. I'll skip on down for the sake of time, down to verse 28. It says, "For this is part of their praying. For to do whatsoever thy hand and counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold," this is their closing their prayer. And now, Lord, behold our threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all, come on, with all boldness. Because see, that's what the attack was against. It was attack against their boldness. They'd shut them up. Our corruption in our world kills you if you don't shut up. I'm not taking it back. I know I'm live. I'm live on online. I don't care. I'm not taking it back. It's true. So exactly what happened to a couple weeks ago. Took a man's life. Robbed his wife and his children. Why? Because he wouldn't shut up. Settle it in your mind. It's cruelty. It's brutal. It's evil. It's wicked.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You see, even as an American citizen, set apart your faith in Christ for a minute. We ought to have some bottom line things that we agree with.
Yeah.
We don't kill people because we don't agree with them.
Right.
Come on! I'm talking to you from an American.
Yeah.
We should value people's lives. And the First Amendment is the Freedom of Speech Amendment.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
If you want to disagree with me, that's fine. No one's going to die. We're American citizens. We have value of people's life. Set aside your Christian beliefs for a minute. We still have American citizenship, and we value people's lives. That's our First Amendment, the freedom of speech. Right? And so, the Lord knows the truth. All the way from Abraham Lincoln's assassination to JFK and his 63 Lincoln. Who really shot him? Was it Lee Harvey Oswald? Was it a setup in the car? I mean, listen, there's conspiracy theories about everything. I even question whether I was born a person. I could be an alien. Sent from another planet. I knew I'd finally get someone to agree with my preaching. I just didn't realize how far off I would have to go to get it. My coffee drinking buddy back there. You know, God knows the truth about everything. And you and I don't. No matter what you think, no matter how much evidence you have, hey, you could be missing something vital. Just you know, here, deal with facts. All right? This man was alive, now he's not. Fact. Right? This woman had a husband, these kids had a father, now they don't. Fact. Deal with facts. Obvious, easy ones. Right? And the Lord knows all the details about everything. But it's our mission, it's our job to pray like they did. And Lord, give the church boldness that we may speak thy word. And then he went on and said, by stretching forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. We might as well add that on there too, because it would be Bible. Lord, give the church boldness to speak your word. Give us, Lord, the authority and the power to heal the sick. Come on, to do signs and wonders through our hands, through our voices, that the church may rise up and be whom you've called it to be. That's our prayer. That's what we're believing for.
Yes.
Right? I mean, where is the sick going to come? Where is the oppressed and the possessed? Where can they come to get free? It's got to be the church.
Yes, it does.
Because we are the hands, we are the voice of God, we are the hands and feet of God. Come on, we are the body of Christ.
Yes. Yep.
That's who we are. That's what the Bible says we are.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So I want you to see that the attack was on their boldness, and they were having a measure of success because they wouldn't have been praying for that way if they weren't. Right? I mean, it's one thing to preach, but when you get life threats, it's a whole other thing to start preaching after that. You know? You know, a friend of mine was, I don't know if I should tell you this. I may have already did. A friend of mine was in India last year, this time, October, this last October. And he was in a school that where I went first time I went a few years ago. Very first time I went, I was in the same place. He was preaching in there, and he was preaching on the Sunday service. Of course, he was there to teach throughout the week to students. He was in there, and the government had some spies in there. And they called him, and they came in and shut him down, tried to arrest him. And the congregation stood between them and says, "We're not allowing you to take him." Listen, I know the congregation, I know the director of that school, and I know the man that was preaching. I talked to him about it. February, I was with him. I talked to him in February about it. And I asked him, I said, "But tell me what happened. I already heard, I want to hear from you." Because he was the one that was there. Congregation steps in between and says, "You're not taking him." Of course, they did all that in probably Hindi. So he's probably thinking like, "Man, I don't know." But they did take the director, who I also know, took him. And then they kind of hid this man away. They hid this man away till the dust cleared a little bit. And they took him out of there, took him to the airport. Flew him out of the country. But his wife was with him. And he had to leave her there. I shouldn't say that, but I'm taking Miss Irene with me next year. Probably a bad timing to say all that. But but they didn't come over together. See, they're both world travelers. So, you know, he came from another part of the country, and she came from a different part. I think she was in Europe or something and met him over there. So it wasn't like they came together and had plane tickets together. So, I mean, they may have had him going home, but anyway, true story. See, it's a whole another thing to have boldness when you don't have, and I remember when I was in Jamaica to marry our son many years ago, I was laying there in bed one night and a fear came over me in there. And I thought, man, I can't get home. You know, when I'm in this country, I mean, I drove for a living, so I can go rent a car. Pretty much anywhere in the country that I can get to a place, a city, right? I can drive home. But when you're overseas, you can't leave. And this fear came over me, and I never had it before, ever in my life. I'm thinking, like, man, I can't go home. And I don't know if I have any, I don't know. I mean, I feel safe in my country. I feel safe in my state. I feel safe in my community because I feel like I have some, you know, U.S. representation for me. I'm a citizen here. But I got nothing over there. I got nothing. And this fear came on me. It was such an insecurity that I never experienced it before. And so, you know, when you're overseas, you have to fight that all off all the time because you have no representation. You know, people don't know you. Some of the cities, you know, the city of Mumbai is just 24 million people in the city of Mumbai, 24 million. How many people is that? The entire state of Pennsylvania and Ohio combined is in one city. I said the entire population of Pennsylvania and Ohio combined is almost equivalent to the city of Mumbai. You know how easy you get dumped off in the side street over there and eaten by wild dogs? They got wild dogs all over the place. Throw you in a garbage pile because the streets are lined up with garbage because they don't have any sanitation over there. I said, the streets are lined with garbage up to your knees. And there's cows walking through it all. Cows. I'm like, what's with the cows? And I had to learn about it. Well, the cows quit milking. They can't kill them because they could be their ancestors because they believe in reincarnation, and this is a Hindi practice. So they can't kill them, so they have to just turn them out to the streets. And there are cows walking in the streets, in the garbage. And people starving to death beside them. This is truth. I've seen this, you understand? I've seen my own. I'm telling you, this is how it is. So I'm thinking, it's a whole other realm of attacking your boldness. I'm just saying that because your boldness can be attacked on different levels in different areas of your life. I'm just giving you one example for me. And of course, I'm there during their worship festival week. I didn't know that, but And so they got music playing downtown all night long, Hindi worship music. And I could hear a drum beat was so loud my windows were shaking. I mean, till like midnight, their time, which is 9 hours ahead of us. Windows shaking. It never bothered me, though. For whatever reason, it just didn't bother me. The grace of God, you know, the grace of God, you know, was there for me, and I wasn't bothered by it. But I'm just giving you examples of how that, you know, these men were threatened in their lives. You understand? Don't preach, don't teach in the name of Jesus. You know, I don't know how the later days are going to look for all of us as a church. You know, I thought about it during COVID. They, you know, shut everything down and said you're all going to die. And I mean, you know, we didn't know what to do. We didn't know. But fear was upon the people. Well, time to start, you know, getting forgiveness or whatever. You know, we didn't know. Of course, COVID, that came, that left, right? And now we have a time frame that we've never lived out yet. You understand? Today's a day we've never lived. Tomorrow's going to be a day we've never lived out. We don't really know what to expect for tomorrow. As a church, you know, is there going to be more persecution against our faith? Will the government get better? Will it get worse? Will people that are responsible for wickedness and evilness be held accountable for their wickedness and evil, or will wickedness and evil begin to dominate and corruption become, you know, greater? You know, I don't know. But here's what I do know. God wants us to be bold. And He'll make you bold if you ask Him. He'll make you bold if you ask Him. I want boldness. How about you? I like it. I don't want to be afraid. I hate fear. I don't want to be a coward. I don't like that. I don't like to be intimidated by bullies, whether they're natural, whether they're spiritual. In fact, the only fights I could ever got in grade school was because of somebody else bullying somebody else. I hate bullies. I hate that one. I shouldn't say hate bullies. We love people. We don't like the actions, okay?
Right.
All right? I don't want to be bullied. I don't want you to be bullied. I'll fight first for you. That's what leaders, that's what pastors do. And I'll fight first for the church. That's what we do. It's who we are. I'm just saying all this to say that the attack is always against our boldness. And I want you to see the pattern here where it started at, right here. You see it? Let's go to the book of Romans and we'll finishing here today at some point. The book of Romans, because boldness is what I say, we said that boldness is a result of relationship. And I wanted to add to that, boldness is also a result of knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of God's Word. Boldness is a result of knowledge of God's Word. Romans, the fourth chapter, I want to connect, for the sake of time, I want to connect knowledge of God's Word and faith. Romans chapter 4, we see here that a man named Abraham, who's considered the father of our faith. Here's a conversation the Apostle Paul wrote. He says here, verse 13, he says, "For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." So the promise of Abraham being the father of us all did not come by the law of Moses. That's what he's saying. It didn't come by the law of Moses. It came by faith, by the righteousness of faith. For they which, he says, "For if they which are of the law be heirs, well, then faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. Because the law works wrath, and there's where there's no law, there's no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end of the promise might be sure to all the seed. And this, please, just stay with me. Not to that which is of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So let me back up a little bit. When God spoke to Abraham from where his land of the Chaldees was, he said to come out, I have something for you out here. And he said, you know, look at the stars. We should know a little bit about the story, right? Look at the stars. If you can count them, that will be the number of your descendants. Look at the sand. If you can count the sand, then that will be the number of your descendants. And Abraham had no child. He had no child. But God told him that would be his seed. And so he received that promise before Moses was born. So there was no law, right? The promise could never come through the law. You don't receive anything from God by walking and obeying the law. You receive everything from God by faith in what He says to you. This is why faith is so important to us. It was important to him. Do you see this? So he goes on to say, verse 17, for as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed. God who quickeneth the dead and calls those things which are not, which be not as though they were. See, God called Abraham a father of many nations before he had any children. That's what he says. So don't get confused on it. He calls things which aren't as though they are. He called him a father of many nations before he had any children. If you'll read and study the Word of God, you'll see there's a lot of promises in there that He says about you. He calls you the things He says in the Word, and your responsibility should be to agree with them. Right? Verse 18 says, he breaks it down for us, he says, who against hope believed in hope that we should become the father of many nations, that he should be according to that which was spoken. See? So shall thy seed be. In other words, Abraham, you're going to have a child, and through that child, you're going to have as many descendants as the stars in the sky, as the sand in the sea. That's what God said. And then he begins verse 19 by saying, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. What's that mean? He considered not. It means that he didn't look at how he felt. He didn't look at what he understood as a man in his own mind. He did not look at that. He didn't consider that. But he stayed focused on what God said over what he felt and over what he even knew as a man. He stayed focused on what God said because he made a choice to believe that what God said was greater than what he knew. You understand this? So everything in the Word of God is greater than what you know. You say, well, Pastor, I have proof right here. I have evidence. Okay. Well, okay, you got a man's situation going on there, but what's God's Word say about that? Because whatever God's Word says about that is greater than everything else. And this is why Abraham is considered the father of all faith, is because he chose to believe God over the deadness of Sarah's womb, over the inability to produce children at his age. He chose to believe that somehow, some way, God's going to do it. And he refused to be focused on anything else. Now that's easy to talk about and preach. But whenever a situation comes into your life that is against you, that is against a condition you have, you have to find a way to consider not. I'm not saying that we stick our head in the sand. I'm just saying that whatever reports you get, stay more focused on what God's Word says than that if they're contrary. This is what faith does. Faith chooses to believe what God's Word says over everything else. That's what Abraham did. The Bible's our example. Come on. Well, that's just too hard to believe. That's just too radical. Well, no, Jesus is too radical. I mean, you have faith in Him? Do you have faith in Him? Well, then you're believing about some guy who was dead for 3 days and come back to life. You know anybody else like that? Yeah, you're choosing to believe something that radical? Come on. Yeah. Let's just take it a step further. How many girls you know got pregnant without having any sex? And the answer is zero. Right? Yeah. I hear these stories once in a while. I start laughing inside. Well, I just found myself pregnant. I'm like, what do I stop? Like, did you drive to Walmart and all of a sudden, boop, you're pregnant? Did you wake up one morning? Wait a minute, you just found, no. Stop making some false imagination to your mind. You took your clothes off. We had sex, and now I'm pregnant. That's the truth. Just say it like it is, right? No sense in trying to be foolish and trick yourself. I just found myself pregnant. No, you did not. There are events that lead to this cause. Right? It's amazing how people think today. They talk like they had no idea. I had no idea. You had no idea that could happen. What's the school teaching you now? She said, "What's the parents teaching you? I mean, maybe you don't have any parents. I don't know. I never had any education on these things. Unfortunately, my kids all did, because I did not. No one talk about in my day. Anyone talk about any of this stuff? Go figure it out. You'll be all right. Oh yeah, right. That's like the dumbest advice you could ever give, huh?" When puberty, I can't have time for this. You better talk to the young boys, mom, dad. When puberty comes, they need to know what to do, what not to do with that thing. Hello? If you don't teach them, they're going to learn it wrong. Their friends will teach them. Some TV program, some internet thing, something else will teach them. And they'll fall and begin to respond to that. And that'll lead them to all kind of stupid stuff. Yeah. I mean, are we in the business of helping people or not? Okay. Girls, I mean, hey, same for you, right? I better not go there. Hey, teach your kids, man. Man, we got way off. How do we get over? How do we connect that dot? Oh, yeah. Thank you. Good focus. Thank you. Verse 19 of Romans 4, almost done here. And being not weak in faith, he, Abraham, considered not his own body now dead, What's that mean? It means his sex wasn't working out too good for him in them days. Well, he's 100. Huh? Listen, I'm fixing to talk to another man here soon. Not in this church. He's a little over 40 now. I'm fixing to have a conversation with him about about these things. The world calls it midlife crisis for a man. Because there comes a day when he gets to a certain age where the light switch comes off. Now, maybe you're just the stud of a man and you don't have any issues. But I'll just tell you now, most men, they come to a certain age where their physical body doesn't continue to build the testosterone at the same level that it did when it was 20. I mean, where are you going to hear about these things at? It's true. Right? And then here's what happens to a man's mind. He thinks he's not a man anymore because he don't have to have sex with his wife every night. Because there was a time in my youth, and I've been married for, how long have we been? I've been married over 40 years. I've been with Miss Irene and no other for 42 years. And there was a time in my life where I thought manhood was connected to your sexuality. And then there came a time in my life when sexuality, a couple, 3 days went by, and I hadn't thought about it. And all of a sudden, I thought, I'm not a man anymore. And this is the crisis that men go into. No one talks about these things. You know why? Because they're afraid. But I'm not, as you can tell. I'm fixing to have a conversation right now with a friend of mine. Brother, I just want you to know, if you're not having sex like you did when you were 20, it's all right. Don't get into a battle that you're not a man anymore. Come on. Because, you know, that throws men into crisis. It threw me into crisis. And we make jokes about it. Well, he either has an affair, he goes out and buy a Harley, or what's the third thing? A Corvette? Yeah. Well, 2 out of 3 for me. I get it. But, because it's like you're not a man anymore. If you equate your sexual ability and your sexual drive with your manhood, there's gonna come a time when you don't need it as much. It's not like it was because you're not built. It's a physical, natural thing. But men need to know what to do with their mind. It's all right. You're not a man because of your sexuality. You're a man because of your spirituality. And if people would have been taught that when they were young, they wouldn't be going through all these stupid crises and all this craziness. Hello? And I'm not going to talk about women in menopause. Because that's a whole other 10-year journey, possibly. It's true. You thought she wanted to kill you when she came into her time of the month. Man, she brings out the whole hit squad when that comes. And that's all I'm going to say about it. You want to talk about it, talk to Miss Irene. She'll help you out. Why are y'all laughing? Hey, this is church. We're going to learn about this stuff on the street. It's a real deal, man. I know a professional counselor. All right, personally. He said, me and my wife, we've counseled people in all kinds of situations for years. He said, I heard all the stories about menopause. In my mind, I heard them all. My wife and I, we dealt with them. He said, but when she really entered into it, he said, oh my. That's what I said. He said, it took us to a realm we never were prepared for. And I'm talking about a professional counselor. I know we make jokes about it, but I'm going to tell you something. It's not a joke. When she's sweating and got the sheets all covered and then wants to stab you in the next breath and then once then she freezes cold and needs a hug. But you don't know what to do. All I can say is you better be right with Jesus regardless, because you don't know which way that pendulum's going to be swinging. All right, I'm sorry. That's enough. Hey, I know we're laughing about it, but listen, it's a real thing. This causes a lot of problem in people's. I'm telling you right now, I'm convinced that people got divorced when they turned, when they got in their late 40s and 50s, because their minds were going crazy. And it was all because of these chemical things, and they didn't know what to do with it. And we just label, oh, well, there's another bipolar man. There's another undiagnosed, unmedicated schizophrenic woman. Unmedicated, by the way. You know, and we make jokes about it, and it's fun to have fun, and I love to have fun and laugh and all, but I want to tell you something. There is a multitude of people that are divorced, ruined their families, all because they didn't know what to do and how to manage these crises. And there are crises. But Abraham, oh Lord, help me, save me somehow. Just rapture me now. Get me out of this mess. But Abraham considered not the deadness of his body, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he stayed focused on what God said. And I'm telling you something, that is huge. And the next verse says, not only did he consider not, but then he says, he staggered not. Do you see it? He staggered not. At the promise of God through unbelief. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So here it is in a nutshell. We have to believe what God said. We don't consider other things but what God said. Abraham had faith. His faith was a result of his position of righteousness, because it was given to him, which we didn't talk about today. Between the position of righteousness, which is what Abraham was credited for, and the promise of God, there was a process. And the process is time where you grow. You see, when Abraham received the promise, it was 25 years later before he produced Isaac, right? 25 years later. And that 25 years was a growing period for Abraham. It was a testing time for him to maintain his faith. You see, when you see a promise, there could be a process in receiving the promise. Yeah, your faith lays hold of it now, but by the time you actually get possession of the thing, there could be a process. Don't despise that process. Look at the process as a time to grow. Look at the process as a time to strengthen your faith and continue to believe God. Whatever you need, God will meet you there. If you have His Word for it, you can stand on His Word. He considered not, he staggered not. And in verse 21 says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. I like to call it this, the law of imputation. It's where something is like imputed to you. It's actually a mathematical term, I believe. It's imputed to you. It's accredited to you. Okay? Notice the language. Therefore, what do you mean therefore? That therefore means as a result of Abraham's continual believing and strong faith, therefore, because of that reason, it was imputed to him for righteousness. That means right standing before God because of his faith. Now notice the next verse. Not only was it written for his sake alone that it is imputed to him, but for us also. Do you see this? For us also, to whom it shall be imputed. What shall be imputed? Righteousness. The righteousness of God, the position of right standing before God, the position of righteousness is also imputed to you and me. Notice, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, and who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. So the position of right standing with God is imputed to you by faith in Christ. It is the highest position available for any man on the planet. We think, well, it'd be, you know, the president, the CEO, or, you know, the, you know, whatever, you know, owner of the NFL or the president of the United States. No. Those are all positions, but the highest position is the position of right standing before God. And that is imputed to you and me by faith in the one that raised Jesus from the dead. Understanding this position will give you boldness. Amen. It'll give you boldness. Let's stand up. Boldness is a result of relationship. Boldness is a result of knowledge. Knowledge of His Word and also knowledge of your position. The more you know the position that God has given you, the bolder you will become. That's why we're not afraid. We stand right before God. Amen. We stand right before God, not because of our own works, but we stand right before God because of our faith. Our faith in Him. Period. God's really gave you a position. Amen. And He gives us all assignments. And His assignments deal with His kingdom. Helping grow His kingdom on the earth. Father, thank You for Your word today. Thank You, Father, for being so good to us, so gracious to us, Lord. Lord, thank You for being so merciful, Lord. Lord, we love You. Thank You for Your word. I pray Your blessing on each one here today, Lord, that You would give them peace. That Your peace would remain in them. For those that have come for needs, that You would give them direction for those needs to be met. That You would give them direction for those answers to be, or those questions to be answered. That You would give them direction for the pathway in life that will bring them contentment on the inside. Lord, thank You for Your blessing on each one today. In the name of Jesus. If you have prayer or need prayer for anything other than what I've already said, I believe I know you all. I believe you're all saved. But if you're not sure about it, I invite you to come and see me. I'd be glad to agree and believe God with you. Or if you have anything else you need prayer for, I'd be glad to pray for you and believe with you. If not, please greet someone before you go. Blessings to you. We'll see you men tomorrow night.